This is Paulina Vasiliev reporting for Pacifica Radio. The Los Angeles garment industry has been long notorious for sweatshop working conditions, wage theft, and other abuses. Now with COVID-19, we find out that our garment workers are labeled as essential workers. What does that actually mean for the over 45,000 garment workers themselves? Are their labor rights being respected as frontline workers? Today we speak with Alex Sanchez, field organizer with the Garment Workers Center in Los Angeles, California. Alex, welcome to Pacifica Radio.
I'm glad to be here, Paulina.
Explain to us what happened with the closure of LA Apparel in this context that we set, the fact that the garment workers are supposed to be essential workers, frontline workers during this pandemic. Alex.
Correct. So what we've noticed is that the garment industry has transitioned from fast fashion here in Los Angeles to producing much needed masks and gowns for the healthcare community, but also for essential workers like warehouse workers, restaurant workers, any other type of workers that are deemed essential. So they've been producing masks and much needed personal protective equipment or PPE.
The working conditions, though, in the factories, where for many years now it's been known that the conditions are pretty much sweatshop conditions. Have those changed? And what's going on with that, given that the mayor's office, Eric Garcetti's office, has a program to partner up with the industry to produce these masks?
So correct. The industry has had issues for the longest time. I grew up as a son of a garment worker. My mom was a garment worker for over 20 years. And I remember as a child being at these garment work factories. But it was still heavily unionized in the 70s. But what we've noticed is that the industry has been forgotten. The factories that are all over here in LA, which is the hub of fast fashion, are rodent infested, missing just the basic health and safety protections that any worker should have. So they're not climate controlled, they're rodent infested. One restroom for over sometimes 50, 100 workers. There are not any clean eating facilities for breaks and lunches. We see workers that are constantly paid a piece rate, which equals $6 to $7 an hour, which is almost less than double of what minimum wage should be. We're putting in 60 to 70 hours a week, getting paid $200 for that week. There are so many conditions and bad conditions, and also these workers have no health care. They also have no sick leave. So most of these workers continue to work when they're sick. And these are the conditions that were evident that were prior to COVID. Now with COVID in place, now you are having these facilities that should have social distancing, hand washing and sanitizing stations, and also should be monitoring for COVID-like symptoms, and it's not happening.
Why is that? Given that the Department of Labor is supposed to oversee these conditions, and especially now that it's so visible, so prominent in times of COVID, why do you think these essential workers, this work considered essential, is being still invisibilized? And I want you to comment especially on the fact that, at least in Los Angeles, the garment industry, the manufacturing of garments, and in this case, masks, it relies in large part on undocumented workers.
Well, I think you hit it on the head right there. I think, first of all, what we're seeing is that there's not enough inspection or inspectors for the amount of workers that and workplaces here in LA and throughout the state due to budget cuts or just because those positions haven't been filled. But then you also have a workforce that does not speak out. It might be due to fear, or it might be due to threats that are made to them at the workplace. So they start seeing that folks are sick around them, and that's their only way to get an income, because they don't have any type of sick time, or they're not eligible for work comp. So many of these workers will stay quiet and work sick, because if they don't work, their family doesn't eat. So that's probably the reason why a lot of these places are not, there's no active reporting where somebody else that maybe has the ability to go on work comp or look for another job would report their workplace.
And let's remind our listeners that undocumented workers, even though they pay taxes, are not eligible for the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security CARES Act package that was meted out by the government recently. Now, Alex Sanchez, one more thing. You are a field organizer with the Garment Workers Center in Los Angeles. What are you calling for, and what campaigns would you like our listeners to know about so that they can find out more about it and support it?
So we currently have a bill that's in legislation. The bill was authored by Senator Maria Elena Durazo. The bill is SB 1399. What SB 1399 would do would be to eliminate the piece rate in the garment industry. That means every garment factory would be held accountable to paying minimum wage. And I know that when we bring that up, some people are shocked, saying, wait, there's minimum wage laws already in place. What's going on? Well, the way the garment industry works is that they use an outdated piece rate, which is supposed to be equal to or be above minimum wage, but garment factories have got around that and have just gotten to start paying a piece rate. And if workers make too much, they'll lower the piece rate. So SB 1399 would say there is no more piece rate. Everybody needs to get paid by the hour, by whatever the wage is in the county or the city or the state, but also would hold big brands accountable. So these minimum wage laws would be, you know, they would, so these factories would deal with these minimum wage laws. The way it is right now is that if there's any kind of wage theft, the factory is the one that's held responsible. And what we see is that these factories will, instead of paying the wages, they'll just shut down and move, or they'll shut down and disappear. And then the burden ends up falling on the state to pay from a garment relief fund. But what we want to do is hold the brands accountable that are subcontracting with these factories to make sure that if they're going to subcontract with the factory, that they hold these contracts and these companies accountable as well to pay this minimum wage rate.
How do you do that, Alex Sanchez, given that many workers have denounced the fact that when they're fabricating, when they're manufacturing those pieces, there is no brand label very often? Now, for instance, let's think about masks, right? They're making fashion masks, often that are supposed to later go to probably brand retailers, but there is no brand on those masks. How do you track that? How do you make sure that retailers are not selling the product of what could be considered modern age slave labor?
For fashion, we have a good way to track, because all the workers that come across our center, our members, they when they have a case and they open up a case, they always bring labels with them of the different brands. But there is a paper trail. There's a paper trail that's being created when these brands are giving contracts to these subcontractors due to tax purposes. So that's where we have to expand the transparency to be able to continue with enforcement. We need to see where these masks are going. So if there's a factory here in LA that's producing 10, 15,000 masks, we need to be able to have the transparency to see where, who the purchaser is, where the bills of lading are going for transportation and logistics. So there has to be more transparency as well to see who is the one that's ultimately paying for these masks.
On the national level, on a national level, what are you calling for? I understand that this is a question of local oversight, state oversight, and federal oversight. Now that we're talking to a national audience, what should people be aware of, and what should they be talking to their elected officials about?
I think it's important that whether workers are deemed essential or either workers that are deemed non-essential, it's important that everybody has health and safety in their workplace. It's important that you get home safely the same way you arrived. And there are a lot of manufacturing companies, garment and non-garment, that are not adhering to these standards, whether it's your Amazons. We just seen a report on Tesla. So I think that health and safety needs to be the most important thing before we start talking about shareholder value or these golden parachutes that the CEOs get or the kind of wage packages we see that upper management get. We need to start worrying about the workers that are the backbone of these industries and of our country.
One of our most famous political prisoners, Mumia Abu-Jamal, in a recent interview from prison, talking about exactly the kind of conditions that workers find themselves in, spoke of disposable labor instead of essential labor. This denomination is essential worker almost a joke. Your last thoughts, Alex, and whatever else I may have not asked you about that you would like to talk about.
I believe that he spoke eloquently. I think that's exactly that we tag some workers as essential and not others as non-essential, or they're not essential because they don't have the documentation that's needed, is nonsense. Every worker is essential. We need to treat workers as essential, and we need to stop treating workers as disposable income or disposable machines or disposable labor. We need to treat workers as essential, and we need to understand what their importance is in our economy and our country.
Alex Sanchez with the Garment Workers Center in Los Angeles. Thank you so much for speaking with Pacifica Radio today.
Thank you very much, Paulina.